I don't know
why.
That
was an interesting mix.
Yeah, that sure was. I don't know why the Eagles wanted to perform.
Is that Nickel Creek? Who's the instrument?
I was going to say Union Station.
Yeah, Allison Krauss and Union
Allison
Station.
Allison Krauss, okay. Yeah.
By the way, I do have a question for him real quick. Bell peppers, mm-hmm. Best time to grow them, and how do you get them to grow big enough to stuff? What's your trick?
Well, bell peppers in Phoenix, Arizona are really hard to get big because we have intense sunshine and warm temperatures, and most of those great big bell peppers you see are, you know, California grown. But actually, if you can get bell peppers to go through, any pepper in Phoenix to go through the summer, right now is when you'll have probably your best peppers. This is what we were talking about, it's just perfect weather, and this is perfect weather for pepper production. These 80 to 90 degree days, cool nights, shorter days, you don't get the sun on those skins of the peppers and tomatoes causes them to tighten up and just not get as big. I brought some chilies home from El Frida down south of Wilcox the other day. A customer gave me a big gunny sack full of ancho. They're just gorgeous. But 4,100 feet all summer long, just perfect weather. But
that was my next question. What elevation should you be at if you're expecting those? I mean, like Camp Verde, Wilcox, can they get those types?
Yes, that's where you need to be. Globe, Camp Verde, Wilcox. If you really want the nice, big, beautiful peppers that you see in the grocery store, they have the perfect climate to do that. The other thing I have heard you might try is Epsom salts.
Epsom salts?
Yeah, I've heard that will help increase size of the fruit on those. Shading them probably a little bit wouldn't hurt a bit either. And then sometimes just actually taking some of the – sometimes there's just so many fruit on there. If you take a few off, that might help you as well.
Let's get out to Santan Valley and bring Fred into the conversation. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm in Gilbert, and I got gophers. I've never had them so bad, but they've taken my kale, my tomatoes, and taken them by the roots like a cartoon and just eating them and taken them down in the ground.
Disappear, huh?
Yep.
Well, gophers are a challenge. Romy, I think, has some things you might try. There's some old tricks, mothballs and, but traps, I think, are still one of the best solutions mm-hmm. for that. You don't have to worry about, poisoning and things like that. But what was it, burying glass jars or something around the edge of the garden? Is one way to do that.
That would be a great solution for your garden, Fred. It was a call-in. Listener gave us the tip. You'd get 1 gallon pickle jars, fill it 3/4 of water, tighten the lid on it and seal it, and set it around your garden. And the gophers, as they burrow, they feel that water shaking and think they're coming up to a river, stream, a water source, and that will deter them out. So I would start by sticking that pickle jar right where they're burrowing up, and as it pushes them out, just start adding and making your barrier that way. And gophers, anything burrowing, you need kind of like an arsenal. There's no one magic bullet that'll get them all. And another great tool is, you hear us talking about the Bonides Molmax is another great one, mm-hmm. and it's organic.
You can put
it straight on your garden, too, in a granular, and that'll start kicking them out with and then, like you said, physical traps, and they say, when you catch one in a trap, bury it right there in that hole. You got it, and that'll keep them from coming back to that hole. So,
and then the other thing is, if you're if you're in a rural area or an open area, a lot of times you're not going to catch them all. You're going to move them, and then if your neighbors or surrounding areas then they will slowly creep back in. So you don't often ever get rid of them completely. It might just be a little bit of an ongoing task. And then ultimately, a raised ground, above ground garden with some wire mesh below it, and just literally build a barrier that they can't get through to get to your stuff is another way to go.
We've got a text question that wants to know, is it too late to plant a tulip tree? Did I read that right? Or they technically, like citrus or a shrub, and we call them trees.
Well, tulips, the tulips you think of that you buy in the flower shop don't come off of a tree. They're a bulb, and they're grown in the ground and they sprout and flower. A tulip tree, there used to be a tree, maybe calling the same thing, Liriodendron was called tulip tree. I've never had very good luck planting one here, period. But if you are going to plant one, this would probably be a good time to do it. They're not as, you know, kind of heat tolerant. They'll probably have to have a little bit of a microclimate to get one to grow here, but this would probably be a good time to do it if you're going to try it.
And then you had asked the question off air, have we ever tried any of the non-gas?
Yeah, you know, my gas string trimmer gave up the ghost the other day. You know, and I've been kind of watching the evolution of the cordless, lawn implement business over the last, 15, 20 years. I've had a couple in the original, and they worked fine, except that the batteries just didn't last very long. I mean, I don't mean after the charge. The charge didn't last very long either, but then mm-hmm. the batteries actually went bad after. So, was curious if you've had any. Have any recommendations for that?
You know, we have, we're getting ready to test the Briggs & Stratton just came out with a line. And when we mentioned that, the Troy Built manufacturer was listening and they sent me a Troy Built weed whacker. And that battery lasts about 30 minutes and it's been an impressive addition at the Whitman Plantation. But I haven't got to any others beyond that.
I'll keep you posted.